They believe that John Mark is their John is their first bishop of their church, and they accept the gospel of Mark and rely on it very, very heavily. The reason I asked you about this is because this is something you probably have not heard about in the news. It's been hidden, it's been tucked away, and about a week or so ago, a man was arrested for having beheaded two Coptic Christians right here in the United States of America. Did you hear about it? Didn't even hear about it, did you? Guess what religion the man professed? Islam. That's exactly right. Okay? It's going on, folks. Okay? And there's radicals everywhere. Okay? And we're going to find out you really don't even have to be a radical to accept some of the tenets of this religion. Arlene?
I believe they cut the girl's nose off.
They have. I haven't heard everything. This is just one that I got that, you know, stuffed away, and no news media has even touched it. Okay? Oh, they do it all the time. Absolutely. Second thing. This is probably something you did hear about. Okay? There was a classroom recently in the United States of America who had all of their girls dress up in, yes, the burkas, and they were teaching them about the doctrines and tenets and religion of Islam. Have you heard about that? Okay, if you've watched Fox News, they were about the only news outlet that covered the particular story. Okay, but it's caused great fervor in the great state of Texas because that's where this transpired. There is a program that has been introduced into many schools, and you may just want to write it down so in case you ever hear about it, you'll remember the name. It's called C-Scope. Okay, C and then the word scope, S-C-O-P-E. And in that, their purpose is to indoctrinate children with regard to the religion of Islam. Okay, they allow them to dress in Muslim dress. Okay, they affirm that Allah is God. There are several readings from the Quran. There is a desensitization of these radical extremists in the thinking of the students. They don't refer to them as terrorists. They refer to them as freedom fighters, okay, as if they're fighting for freedom. And they are extremely, extremely heavy on the idea that capitalism is a bad thing, okay, and that we are the cause. Capitalists are the cause for all of this revolt and all of this hatred and all of this fighting that's going on throughout the world. The capitalists are the cause. So they kind of give us down the road and support the terrorists in that particular program. And folks, all they're doing is programming the minds of our children. Okay? It's in the school system. So, you know, don't be surprised one day if you don't walk in and your children or your grandchildren are calling and saying, "Hey, guess what we did in school today? We got to dress up like little Muslims." Now, won't you be a happy parent or grandparent? Boy, I'm telling you what, it caused me a little stir. All right, let's hand out some things. Everybody gets one. Everybody gets one. Hopefully, let me see, where's Glenn? Glenn, you back there in the back? Have you got my classes downloaded on the internet, so as soon as I put my sermon on? Yeah. Okay. I hope next week, okay? That's real. I didn't want to make a promise that I couldn't keep. That's right. He's our website guy, and so I've got to kind of follow his lead sometimes. We're going to eventually have the outlines to all the classes and the audio to all of these classes on our website. Yes, ma'am?
What is your website?
OceansideChurchOfChrist.org. Or, I mean, dot .net. Dot .net, not .org, .net. Oceanside Church of Christ, all in small letters. Just type that in. One more back there, guys. One more back there. Okay. Yeah, it'll work on .com. It'll work on .org. It'll pull it up as far as if you're Googling it. It'll get you there. You can just type in Oceanside Church of Christ and you'll get there. Okay, so got some more coming in. You may want to just hold on to them and watch some coming in. Give them back there to somebody and they can maybe give them Kevin. He can hit them as they come in. How about that? Okay. Now we got all the stuff out of the way. Now it's time to gear down, right? Took off the tie. We're going to crank up tonight. No, I'm kidding. we are talking about Allah. Let me ask you a couple of questions, and these are just this is just a refresher question. We've already talked about the meaning of the word Islam. Okay, what does that word mean? Islam. What's that? Not really. When I say the meaning of the word, I'm talking about the actual definition of that word. I gave it to you. See, y'all supposed to go home and study, folks.
Submission to God.
Yes, submission to God. Just submission is what that word means. Every time anybody says Islam, that is an Arabic term meaning submission. Okay, every time you say it. And what does the word Muslim then mean? One who submits to Allah. That's what that term means, okay? Islam or Muslim. One who submits to Allah. I want you to think about that, okay? The very words that are spoken as just the title of these religions honor who? Allah. Folks, everything about this religion is about Allah, okay? Everything is about Allah. Has nothing to do really with Muhammad. Yes, Muhammad is the prophet, but he's the prophet of who? Allah. And that's what makes him important. Okay? Everything has to do with Allah. And we need to get that comprehension in our minds. Okay? It ought to be the similar way with us. Okay? Everything about Christianity ought to involve who? Jesus Christ. Okay? Everything ought to involve Christ. And you and I are really nothing as far as that goes, are we? Because all we're supposed to be as converts to Jesus are living examples of Him, aren't we? That's what we're supposed to be. Paul said that I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, well, it's the same way with these individuals. Everything revolves around Allah. Everything. And it's hard for us to comprehend. I think they accept that more. I think they practice that more. I think they believe that more. I think they live that out more in their lives, especially in those countries where Islam is the dominant religion, okay, or moving toward that. Okay? It's not quite there in the United States yet, so we've got some individuals here who are Muslims who are not really as committed, maybe. Okay, but if it ever becomes the dominant religion, man, it is really pressed and stressed. Okay, when we talk about this person called Allah, there is something that we need to understand, and it was referred to as the confession. Question: do we, as children of God, have to make a confession? Yes, what is that confession? Yes, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. In like manner, these individuals have a confession, and it is known as the Shahada. Okay, the Shahada. Remember, everything's in what? Arabic, isn't it? And the Shahada is the confession of Islam, and here's the statement. There is no God but who? Allah. That's the confession, folks. Okay? There is no God but Allah. Now, there is a surah. Does anybody know what a surah is? We've talked about this a little bit. Hadn't, huh? Yet it is a chapter in the Quran. Anytime you hear surah, that just means chapter. Okay? And this is found in chapter 112.
Okay, this is what the Muslims are supposed to say. Say, He, Allah, is one, God eternal. Allah is He on whom all depends. Now note this next statement. He begets not, nor is begotten. Read that again. He begets not, and is not begotten, and none is like Him. We'll come back to some of this stuff in that statement. Okay, now folks, these individuals memorize the Quran, do they not? This is one of the very first things that every Muslim is required to memorize. Okay, so they can quote that passage of Scripture to you. Okay, and the name Allah appears 2,500 times in the Quran. 2,500. That's a lot, isn't it? Yes, ma'am. Arabic. In Arabic. Yeah, they will memorize it in the Arabic language. And there's a reason for that, that when we get to the Quran, we'll talk about it. Okay, but what were you going to say? No. Yes. Much like the Catholics used to learn some things in Latin from their worship services, but they didn't really know Latin. Okay, and sometimes they quote it and not even know what they were saying. And the same is true with the Muslims. They'll quote long passages of the Quran in Arabic and not have a clue what they're saying. Okay, there's a reason for it, and we'll get to it eventually. Okay, all right. Let's look down at point D in the introduction. There, Muslims claim that Allah is the same God as the God of the Hebrew and Christian scriptures, thus affirming that Islam stands in, what do you think the word is? Huh? They will say that, but that's not, in continuity, okay? In continuity with Judaism and Christianity, okay? Now, in other words, was Judaism a viable, acceptable religion from God? Yes, they'll never deny that. Was Christianity a viable, acceptable religion? Yes. But we are the what? We are the continuation of these two things. Okay. Now, folks, if that's the truth, then it's very easy to accept them, is it not? Okay. And see, that's what they want you to do. They want you to accept it. All right? And so there's several books out and different ones that talk about Allah, God, being the God of three faiths. Have you ever heard that? Never heard that? Go out to the bookstore sometime and just pick up books on God, and you'll run across one every now and then saying God, or God, the God of three faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and what? Islam. Okay, so they want us to believe that this God, this Allah, is the same God of these other two. Now, watch this. Point number one. The Jewish religion believed in one God. Okay, what do we mean by that? Monotheism. One being in the Godhead. That's a fact, folks. Okay? That is exactly what the Jews believed. One being and only one being in the Godhead. But Judaism, Islam understands, was limited to one nation. Isn't that right? Here's something that, and this is a concept that many individuals do not understand today, and yet I find it interesting that Islam gets it. Okay? You talk to Christians all over the place and they don't get it. Okay? Folks, Judaism was for one nation. Who is that? The Jews. Okay? Judaism was not intended for all the nations of the world. In fact, the law of Moses set up a wall around the Jewish people that separated them from everyone. Isn't that right? Okay? That's why the law of Moses had to come down. Okay, that's why the law of Moses had to be abolished. That's why that old covenant had to be done away. Because as long as that covenant was up, guess what? The Gentiles weren't accepted. I mean, they weren't part of the chosen people of God. Okay? And Islam gets that. And they say, yes, they had the right belief, one God, but only for who? For the Jews. Okay? Well, all of a sudden, Christianity comes along, right? And Christianity drops that barrier, drops that wall, doesn't it? Colossians 2:14, Ephesians 2:14 and 15. The wall of separation has been torn down, has been abolished, Paul writes. That wall is done away with. And to whom does Christianity go? The entire world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So now we've got a religion that is open to who? Everyone. Well, if the law of Moses has been taken down and Christianity is now open to everyone, why isn't Christianity good enough? Why do we need Islam? That's the question, isn't it? You know, if Christianity was a good religion from God, then why in the world would God come along and replace Christianity with Islam? There's a reason. And here's the reason. Are you ready? They say that Christianity has corrupted the concept of God. Okay? Jews believed in what? One being. Limited to one nation, though. Christianity comes along, open to all nations, and guess what they do? They corrupt the concept of who? Of God. They believe in, according to Muslims, three gods. Right? They'll even talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You Christians, Muslims say, have corrupted the concept of God. So therefore, we need another what? We need another religion, don't we? And God understood that, and He chose Muhammad to straighten all this stuff up. Okay? That's serious. Okay? He chose Muhammad to drive people back to what? One God. Okay? And Islam is open to who? All people. And they're trying to take over the world, folks. Okay? That's in their mind. And they are on the march, aren't they? So you have the Jews. What was their problem? Just for the Jews. You have Christians. What was their problem? Corrupted the concept of God. So now we have Islam that's got the right concept of God and goes forth to all men. Now, folks, you take that simple little message to the world, to people who are ignorant of the Bible, and guess what you can do? You can convince them of anything, can't you? And that's what they're doing, I'll guarantee you. And it looks just like a what? Just like a continuation of these other two religions. Only now, Islam is finally getting it right. And isn't that what it's all about? Getting it right? I hope so. I don't want to be standing before God on the last day having gotten it wrong. Do you? That'd be a bad thing. Okay? And so there's where Islam is with regard to Allah. All right, let's talk about this next concept. Allah is one, and we've emphasized it. What they mean by that is Allah is one being. Okay? Allah is one being. Now note in point A, the doctrine of Allah's absolute and indivisible unity is known in Islam as the Tawhid. T-A-W-H-I-D. You're going to learn a few Islamic Arabic terms, okay? The Tawhid. That means what? God is one. T-A-H. I'm sorry. T-A-W-H-I-D, the Tawhid. That's the concept that God is one. So if you're ever talking to a Muslim and you ask him, do you believe in Tawhid? Guess what he would say? Oh, yes. And he'd ask you what? Where'd you learn that? Okay? From some little short preacher over at Oceanside. That's where I learned that. All right. Guys, if you're going to be a Muslim, there are five understandings about Allah that you must have. Okay? Five understandings that you must have. Number one, a denial of polytheism. There is one God. Okay? One God. Let me ask you something. Is the doctrine of the Trinity something that blows your mind sometime if you really think about it? It is, isn't it? Okay? And is it something that can be somewhat difficult to explain if we don't have a good grasp on it ourselves? It's difficult, isn't it? And I know that when I preached on God, and I talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I have little children go ask their parents, are there three gods? Okay? So there is some confusion. Okay? And so the Muslims, when they hear us talk like that, they just immediately tell us we're polytheists and we believe in three gods. And you cannot do that if you're going to be a Muslim. You've got to believe in one God. Okay? Can't be a polytheist. Point number two, complete, now I've heard that word, complete loyalty to whom? To Allah. Okay? Loyalty to none other. In that Quran, a good Muslim must be obedient to it if he's going to be in submission to Allah. Okay? Put that in your old noggin, okay? And get that. I think there's people out here who think that because there's some Muslims who may be a little bit moderate, that's what we call them, right? Moderate Muslims, that they're not dangerous, folks. You know, we better wake up. Okay, they got complete loyalty to who? To Allah. They are not loyal to you, just to Allah. Okay, point number three. Internal unity of Allah. Okay, now I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on this. Okay, watch this. Muslims must deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay. Here's what this doctrine says, the internal unity. There is no multiplicity to Allah. Okay? He's not one God and three beings. That's multiplicity. There's no such thing. Okay? So this doctrine of the Trinity is something they reject. Is Jesus a prophet as far as the Muslims are concerned? Yes. Is he the Son of God? No. Okay? So, do you see how Muslims could speak favorably of Jesus and yet at the same time speak badly of Jesus? You see, that's the reason I talk when we get to the study of Jesus. We talk about the positive side of Jesus and the negative side of Jesus because there's both ways. Okay, the internal unity. Now watch this next statement. They believe that the doctrine of the Trinity involves the doctrine of association. Okay, good English word, isn't it? In other words, here you've got Allah, right? He's one being, and now you believe that there's other gods, and what have you done? You've associated them with who? With Allah. Can't do that. Okay? The doctrine of association, as far as they are concerned, is a false doctrine. Okay? No such thing as one God in three beings. Okay? To associate, to have partners with God. Now notice, in Islam, this is called the doctrine of shirk. S-H-I-R-K. Shirk. The doctrine of association. Now, here's what's amazing to me. Okay? Look at point number little three down there. Islam teaches that this sin is so serious that God does not forgive it. The first part of this proclamation affirms Islam's absolute monotheism, the uncompromising belief in the oneness or unity of God, as well as the doctrine of association of anything else with God, is idolatry and the one what? Unforgivable sin. Now listen to the Quran 4:48. God does not forgive anyone for associating something with Him, while He does forgive whomever He wishes for anything else. Anyone who gives God associates, partners, has involved himself in an awful sin. I got a question for my Muslim friends. Don't you? Does anybody? After what you just heard? No, I got a question based on what they believe. Here it is. Do you want me to convert and become a Muslim?
Uh-huh.
I can't. And they go, why? Because I have already committed the what? The unforgivable sin. I have believed in what? Associates with God. I have believed in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is an unforgivable sin, folks. If it's unforgivable, you can't be what? You can't be forgiven of that. Okay? And if I can't be forgiven, what in my mind am I thinking? I'm going to be lost. Okay? So there's got to be a way somehow that the Muslims get around that, right? We'll talk about that. Okay? We'll talk about that. See, and when we get into the Quran, we'll talk about some of that. Any place where the Bible contradicts their doctrine, they believe the Quran has been corrupted. I mean, the Bible has been corrupted by man. Okay? So they believe in a very corrupt text of Scripture. Okay? And so that's why they don't hold the Bible up as being that important, because it's been so corrupted. Okay? And when any time you turn to those places, oh, that's a corrupt text. See? And so it's hard to argue with a person when every time that's their argument, isn't it? You know, what you have to do is you'll have to go into the Hebrew and you'll have to go back and show from the Hebrew the evidence that that text has not been what? Corrupted. Okay? And so you get into a pretty big, study at that particular point. So the question is, if I've committed the unforgivable sin, how can I be saved? Right? Because we believe if we've ever committed an unforgivable sin, that we'll be what? Lost forever. Okay? That's one of this concept that I'm introducing you to right now is one of the big distinctions between Christianity and Islam. Okay? And one of these days we'll talk about it and we'll come back to it just a little bit. Okay? So notice this next one. Denial of self. In your notes, it's a little bit stronger than that. The denial of the permanent reality of self. In other words, I no longer exist, only who does? Allah. Okay? That's radical when it comes to Islam, but we believe the same thing when it comes to Christianity, don't we? I've died, and Jesus lives in me. The complete denial of self. And we fight that battle every day, don't we? Okay, it's a tough battle. Notice what they go on to say. The goal of spiritual development is the loss of the sense of self. I wish I could get that through my brethren too. You know? I wish I could get that through me. You know that? In other words, I don't matter anymore. I'm not important anymore. It's not about who? Me at all. Everything has to do in our lives with Christianity, with Jesus Christ. Well, with them, everything has to do with who? Allah. Okay? And so you see a lot of similarities, don't you, between the two religions in some respect. There's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of similarities. And lastly, the uniqueness of Allah. Okay? You have to assert that Allah is unique. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. He is so unique, okay? Just right out beside there, the word so unique, okay? Because He is so unique. And in a minute, you're going to scratch your head, okay? All right, so those are the five understandings of Allah. Any questions, comments? Because we're about to move on. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. It's similar to what to the way we are. Okay, we believe that God's unique, don't we? That He is the one, the true, the only living God, right? He is unique. There are no other gods other than who? Other than God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, right? Very unique. But their uniqueness, in just a minute you'll see, it causes them a problem. Okay? And we'll talk about it here in the next section. Any questions or comments? None. Boy, I'm doing a good job. Oh, no, I'm not doing a good job. Marlene? Groves. It's going to be. Oh yeah, I guess who has to protect us from this religion? Well, yes and no. Who has God put in place to protect the innocent and the good of society? Government. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Okay? God has put governments in place to protect us from stuff just like this. Okay? And here's the deal. Our governments are scared to death of these people. Now, why do I say that the government needs to be the one to take care of these people? Because this is not just a religion. It's because our government won't do anything. Okay? Now, as far as the religious aspect of it, we have to do something, right? It's up to us, one by one by one by one, to try to touch the hearts of those people and convince them with the gospel of Christ. That's our job. But as far as a political system is concerned, our government has to stop it. And guess who's not going to do that? You want to know why? Fear. They're scared to death. Okay? The minute you start opposing them, especially when you're a high person in a position of authority, guess where your name goes? At the top of the killing list. Okay? We'll get rid of you. And people know that, folks. Okay? So all of our political leaders, they just say, oh yes, there's a fringe element over here known as the Islamic terrorists, the radicals, but most Muslims are so lovely and wonderful and good, and they just totally ignore what's going on. And folks, that's dangerous. Okay. Absolutely. I've got a lesson that I want to give. If I don't give it until the very last night, if you'll stay with me 30 minutes, I'll give it to you. Because it'll take me 20 or 30 minutes to cover it, but you need it, okay? And I keep saying I'm going to give it, and you need it, okay? I guess I should have done it second or third or somewhere in there, but I didn't. But anyway, you'll understand more why they're here, okay? All right, let's talk about the names of Allah. The names of Allah, okay? Allah is Arabic for God. In and of itself, the word Allah is not evil, folks. Okay? It's not evil. We've already made mention. If we take our Bibles over to an Arabic nation and we translate it into Arabic, every time you read the name God, it's going to read what? Allah. That's the translation. Okay? Now, the word Allah comes from two words, Al and Ilah. Al means the. Ilah means God. So Allah means what? The God. He's it, right? He's it. So that's what the term literally means, all right? There is a tradition, okay? And we'll get to these traditions in a next lesson or two. There's more than one authority. We always hear the Quran. There's more than one authority, though, in the Islamic religion, okay? In fact, there's three main sources of authority in the Islamic religion. and one of them is the Quran. And then there are another group of authorities known as the Hadiths, okay? H-A-D-I-T-H-S, okay? We'll talk about these Hadiths later, but I'm about to give you a Hadith, okay? Here's what it says. Allah's apostle said, Allah has 99 names, and whoever knows them will go to paradise. Wow. Think about that, folks. You know those 99 names, and guess what you have promised to you? Paradise. So guess what almost every Muslim can do? He can say the 99 names. Okay? It's amazing, isn't it? Now, there's a way that they do that. Okay, there's that hadith. They have a rosary. A subha. Okay? A subha. And it is a group of 99 beads. 33, and then a large bead. 33, and then a large bead. Okay? And then 33 more. So they divided the 99 names into three groups of 33. And guess what they can do? You take your rosary, you start at the first, right? And what do? Each bead indicates a what? A name. You take a little bitty one, 1-2 years old, and you hand him a rosary, and you start teaching him that rosary. Guess what he can do by the time he's 3 or 4? He got the whole thing memorized. 99 names memorized. We members of the Church of Christ, and I can't memorize nothing. Let me tell you what them jokers are memorizing. They're memorizing those 99 names. They're memorizing that Quran. Like crazy are they memorizing. They don't go around, I just can't do this. You know? We say that because we're too stinking lazy to put any effort into it. We got to watch our TV, and we got other things we got to do rather than spend a little time and effort in this stuff. Folks, why do you think individuals are rejecting Christianity and accepting Islam? Who looks like the most devoted? Islam does. They look more devoted than us, don't they? They're not scared to talk about it. They're not scared to push for their rights. They're not scared if people talk badly about them. They'll fight you over it. Man, I want that. Look at these old Christians over here. Right? Big difference between the two. And that's one of the draws of this religion. Okay? Enthusiasm breeds what? Enthusiasm. We've heard that all our lives, right? And that's why congregations don't need to get dead. They get dead, guess what? Everybody in there gets dead. Don't they? Drives you crazy. Unbelievable. Anyway, they memorize these 99 names. Listen to what Muhammad has said. Let the tongue stay moist with the remembrance of God. Guess how you do that? Say the 99 names. Say the 99 names. Go through your rosary. And guess what your tongue does? Stays moist with what? The remembrance of God. See? And that comes from whose words? That's Muhammad. That's what the prophet says. Okay? Skip down to point number 3. Okay? That other statement there just talks about that, the rosary beads and stuff. Okay? Here's where I told you a while ago. Remember they said point number 5 under the understanding of Allah was He is a unique being? Remember that? And I told you He is so unique. Listen to this statement. Now this comes from Muslims. Okay? Yet the Muslims also claim that one cannot know Allah. Allah is unique, unexplorable, and the inexplicable one, the remote, vast and unknown God. Listen to this. Everything we may think about Him is incomplete, if not wrong. Blows my mind. Allah cannot be comprehended. Allah comprehends us. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty potent, isn't it? So, what question do you want to ask your Muslim friends? Huh? Well, they would say that through the prophet we can understand him. Okay, through the prophet's words we can understand Allah. That'd be what they would say. I'd just like to ask them what they just said right here. Is Allah so incomprehensible that everything you know and say about him may be wrong? Wouldn't you like to ask that? And just see what they say. Because in their minds, folks, they've been taught that Allah is what? Unique and incomprehensible. You see, we have to get down to some of the, you know, just the nuts and bolts of this religion and talk to them about it. Okay? Just talk to them about it. Let me ask you this. Can you remember everything good and bad that you've ever done in your whole life? Man, folks, I can't even remember everything I did yesterday. Not even today, I don't think. You know it? And yet, guess what? That's what the Islamic judgment is all about. Your good and bad deeds. Okay? Remember a while ago I asked you how you and I could have committed the unforgivable sin and yet still be saved? That's just one bad work. Okay? That'll be put to your account. If I stand before Allah, and I'm just using their terminology. If I stand before Allah and I have 50 bad deeds and 52 good deeds, guess where I go? I go to paradise. What's the question? How do you keep up with this stuff? You know that? How do you know at any given time whether you are faithful or unfaithful? Whether you're going to be saved or lost. Because there's a bunch of them doing bad things too. Just like us, you see. And those are the kind of nuts and bolts of this thing that we need to ask these people. Okay? And that's why we go through a class like this, is so that when we do confront one, all we need is three or four questions to confront somebody with. You know, you don't have to know the whole doctrine front and back. We know a few things well, and we stick with it, don't we? Is Allah so incomprehensible that you may be wrong in everything you know and say about Him? I want to know the answer to that. Because your doctrine teaches He's unique and you can't comprehend Him.
Why would you want to follow somebody
who
can't even understand
Him? There's a question, isn't it? But you see, it's that mystic type thing to which people are drawn, aren't they? People love that kind of stuff, you know? It's not whether it's rational or not. Okay, it makes me feel what? Makes me feel pretty good. You know, here I am accepting this God that's incomprehensible. Now, folks, there are things that you and I probably don't know about our God, right? But the things that are revealed, I can K-N-O-W know, can I? And I know that I know Him because He's revealed Himself to us. Not so necessarily in Islam. All right, let's go to the next section. We'll go through this one very, very quickly. Okay, there's that quote right there. Here are the essential attributes of Allah, and there's six of them. And they are similar to who? Similar to God. Our God. Okay? Number one, He has knowledge. In fact, He has what? All knowledge. Comes from Him. Number two, He is all-powerful. What do we call that? Omnipotent. Yes, omnipotent. Okay. Oh, sorry. Come back to that. He is what? He is life. Okay. Is Jesus and God our life? Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Allah lives eternally, and so He is life. His speech. Okay. Guess where His speech is recorded for us? In the Quran and in the Hadiths. Okay? Okay? And in other sources of authority that we'll talk about later. He is all hearing. Anything you say can and will be what? Used against you in the court of Allah. Okay? And everything good you say, He hears. And that will be there as well. Okay? And lastly, He sees what? Everything. Sounds like who? Sounds like God. Now, folks, everything with regard to the powers of Allah are wrapped up in all six of those points. Okay? True or false? They believe that Allah is the creator. True. Okay? Doesn't say that up there, does it? Where would it fall, though? Power and knowledge, right? Because you'd have to take knowledge and insert it into this world as well. But power, his power is there. So see, anything you talk about with regard to Allah falls into one of those six categories. Okay? And this idea of being creator is just one of those. Questions or comments? None? Well, we're moving pretty good tonight. Y'all aren't slowing me down at all. All right. Batteries. Delco battery. Huh? Still not on. Uh-oh. Glenn's about to get frustrated. Shut that door. You're good? We're working. We're recording. We don't sound on, do we? I don't sound on in here. All right. Let me ask you this. And you just fill in, you just choose one of these two. Allah is a God of wrath, peace. I heard wrath. I heard some people not choose. Okay? I'm talking about from your standpoint. Okay, that's the way we view him. Westerners view Allah as a God of wrath, do we not? That his sole mission is to go out here and kill as many Jews and Christians as he possibly can. Okay? Here's a statement. This comes from a book entitled Islam, A Raging Storm. The God of Islam is a very capricious one, too far removed from people to be personally involved or concerned. Not only is he impersonal, but he also emphasizes judgment to the exclusion of love. And he motivates people by fear rather than by grace. Okay, now that's pretty much the way we probably comprehend Allah, right? Sit down and read the Quran. Okay? And guess what the Quran does? The Quran sets forth Allah as a God of peace more than a God of wrath. Okay? So in the Muslim's mind who reads the Quran, we don't. We only watch the actions, don't we? We don't read the Quran. They read the Quran, and when they come away from the Quran, they believe Allah is a God of peace. Oh, yes. Because that brings what? Peace. Okay? That brings peace, doesn't it? See? It's how you define what? Peace, isn't it? It's how you define it. But all I'm saying is, in the Quran itself, he talks more about peace than he does what? Wrath. So they view Allah in a totally different way than you and I do, okay? And so we're going to have battles with them, aren't we? You know, I walk up to a Muslim and I say, hey, your God's a God of wrath. He just wants to destroy people and kill people. That is not the way he thinks about Allah. He thinks Allah is a God of peace. Okay? And so, you know, we have to be very careful how we make our approach. Okay? Approach them from the standpoint of what they believe, don't we? Okay? And so just be aware of that. Now, watch this next point. This is interesting to me. Okay, so there's the first one. Here's the second one. The only motive, and underline only, the only motive for serving Allah is L-O-V-E, love. That's the only motive. Listen to this quote. Oh God, if I worship you for fear of hell, burn me in hell. Uh-oh. What he's saying is what? Hell can't be a motivator. If I'm serving you just to keep me out of hell, then guess what? Burn me in hell. Okay? Watch, listen to this next statement. And if I worship you in hope of paradise, exclude me from paradise. Any of you want to go to heaven? Selfish little things. You're just serving God for the reward, aren't you? Okay? Oh, yes. Women can go to heaven. Yep. They kill themselves, they'll go to heaven. Okay. They can be one of their husbands, not virgins, but one of their husbands' mates in heaven. We'll get to women, okay? We'll get to women. It's a little bit harder for the women. but they can. Okay, they can make it to heaven. But now notice this next one. But if I worship you for your own sake, deny me not your eternal beauty. Okay? If I serve you out of fear, destroy me in hell. If I serve you for reward, exclude me from paradise. The only way, the only reason that I should serve you is because of you. And because I love you. That's all. Okay? So that's their sole motivator, is love for Allah. Okay? Now, does God's love motivate us? It's supposed to, isn't it? Paul writes, the love of Christ constraineth us, doesn't it? Does God's grace motivate us? Yes. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul says. And he says, through this grace, I labor more abundantly than they all. His grace was a motivator for the Apostle Paul. But does God give help as a motivator? Yes, by the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Is heaven a motivator? Oh, yes. Live in such a way that what? Heaven will be your home, right? The Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, he looked forward to heaven, didn't he? Those aren't the motivators in Islam. One motivator, and that's your what? Your love for Allah. Remember, everything revolves around who? Allah. That's tough, isn't it? That's a tough religion. I guarantee you. Watch this. Yes. No. This comes from the memoirs of the saints. Okay, one of their teachers made this statement. The concepts are, yes. Okay, and the hadiths. And you know, all of their authorities, yeah, this concept right here, you know, just go ask a Muslim, what is it that motivates you? And yet, Muhammad constantly is throwing out what to these people? Paradise, isn't he? Know the names, go to where? Paradise. Die for the cause, go where? Go to paradise. And yet that's not even supposed to be a motivator. See, it's crazy, isn't it? See, these are the contradictions in the religion, okay? And so that's where you talk to these individuals, you know? Are you supposed to be motivated by fear when you serve Allah? Are you supposed to be motivated by just getting the reward? No. Then why? Why did Muhammad in the Quran promise, if you do this, you get paradise? He shouldn't have done that, should he? He should have said, do this because what? You love Allah. That's what he should have said. Last point. Submission to Allah is what? Paramount, folks. It's paramount. Note that in the division of the Islamic religion, worship, faith, and virtue or ethics, belief in God is the sense of submission to the will of God as manifested in worship. And it is first in each of these divisions. Okay? So in other words, when they think of what? When they think of worship, they think of who? Allah. When they think of faith, they think of Allah. When they think of ethics, they think of Allah. Get that? When they think of ethics, they don't think of the Bible. Who do they think of? Allah. Folks, their ethics are not your ethics. Okay? It's just not the case. They don't think like you think. And we got to understand that. They think like who? Allah. We try to think like Jesus Christ, don't we? Okay? Any questions or comments? Those are three interesting points, aren't they? Yes, sir. There's only one way they can do it, right? And they have to put their sole faith in who? Who? Muhammad. Who is the what? The prophet of Allah. So if I do everything that Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah, tells me to do, surely what? I'll be right with Allah. Surely. But it's crazy, isn't it? How do they know? That's the question. How do you know? Okay? All right, we're at the conclusion. Can you believe it? It's 8 o'clock and we're at the conclusion. Boy, I got to run through this, don't I? Guys, we are told by the Muslims, okay, that Allah is the same God of the Jews and Christians. Okay? That's what's pawned off to us. And the question that we need to ask is what? Is that true? Okay? Guys, Allah originated from the gods of the pagans in Mecca. Okay? You need to understand this. This is the background of Allah. When Muhammad was growing up in Mecca as a caravan trader, as a sheep herder, okay, he grew up in a tradition of polytheism, didn't he? Okay? The Kaaba was there already. And all those individuals would flock to the Kaaba in order to worship, but they worshiped too. Many gods. In fact, at that time, there were around 360 that they gave honor to. That's a bunch of gods, isn't it? Okay? But there was one that was supreme over all. And he is, guess who? The moon god. Okay? The moon god that they worshipped. Okay? There's 360, right? Who was at the top of the list? The moon god. Okay? He was at the top. The moon god had married the sun goddess and all the stars were her children. That's what they taught. Okay? But the moon god was it. Watch this. His title was... Have we seen that before? Wow. Ah, Allah. The God. The deity. When all of those people that Muhammad grew up with, until he got to receiving his revelations from Allah... Okay. When they heard the name Allah, guess who they thought about? The moon god. That's exactly right. The moon god. The supreme god. The god who is over all the other gods. He existed way back there. This is not some new thought. Okay? Here's what's interesting. Here's his name. There's the moon god's name. Now, I don't know if that's a coincidence. If God helped put that there. We just call him sin. I like that, don't you? Okay. In other words, if they use the term Allah, that expressed what? Supremacy. If they use the name sin, that was his what? That was his name. Okay, just like we use Jesus, right? That's his what? That's his name. Lord is a title meaning that he is what? Master Supreme, isn't he? Okay, so in the same way, sin Allah. Okay, sin Allah. The name of our God, our moon God, is sin, and Allah, he is the supreme God of all. Okay? Watch this next point. His symbol, way back yonder, was the crescent moon. Guess what's the symbol of Islam today? The crescent moon. Where in the world did he get that? Folks, every bit of this is borrowed from, guess what? Paganism. From polytheism. All Muhammad did is go up to his mountain, find out that there's really just one God, Allah, and guess what he did? He came running back down the mountain. Hey guys, there's not 359 more gods, there's just one, and that's Allah. He just had to convince them of what? That Allah was the only true God. Okay? Let me read you a couple of quotes and we'll quit. Muhammad was raised in the religion of the moon god Allah, but he went one step farther than his fellow pagan Arabs. While they believed that Allah, the moon god, was the greatest of all gods and the supreme deity in the pantheon of deities, Muhammad decided that Allah was not only the greatest god, but the only god. Islam is nothing more than a revival of the ancient moon god cult. It has taken the symbols, the rites, the ceremonies, and even the name of its god from ancient pagan religion of the moon god. As such, it is sheer idolatry and is to be rejected. We need to understand that. Our kids need to understand that. Where all this stuff came from, right? Guys, when you understand where it all came from, is it easier to not accept it? But you see, they go into that classroom and they get to wear the garb and they get to hear about the Quran and they're told that Allah is God, and they never get told where he came from, do they? They're not going to tell them that, ever. We are going to have to tell that story, okay? Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, tell your great-grandchildren who Allah really is, okay? Questions or comments? I'm done. You stick a fork in me. Uh-oh, here she goes. Three under D. Where? D where? Introduction, man. Islam is for all nations and has restored the correct teachings about God. Is that the one you're wanting? Restored. Yes, they are the ones who tell the truth. Sir? Yeah, I've got the quotations that are there, you know, in my notes, if you have my notes. Quotations are there from the books from which I get this information. They're going to argue against it, okay? But first question. My first question is, was there an Allah who existed when Muhammad was first born? Guess what they're going to have to say? Yeah. Who was he? He was the moon god. Was he the supreme god of all the gods that existed? Yes. What was his symbol? Here's the crescent moon. Oh. Okay, you can deny it all you want to. I know. You know? Where did he get all this stuff from, folks? See, here Paul is coming in, and he's teaching people. There's all these people with these gods, right? Okay? And they're carved, they're images, and they fall down and worship them, and they're made of all kinds of things, insects and birds and cows and people and whoever else. And all of a sudden, Paul walks in and he says, hey guys, guess what? Those aren't gods. They say, well, who do we need to believe in? He says, the invisible God. the God you can't see. Folks, now that's unique. That's different, isn't it? That stands out, right? And this God sent His Son to the earth in order to be a sacrifice for sin. Oh no, that's not the way the pagans did it. They offered their children as sacrifices for sin to their gods. And now we've got a God who sends His own Son to be a sacrifice. That's unique. That's different. There's nobody in their right mind who would have taught that back then. Okay? So when God injected Christianity into this world, it was totally different from anything that had ever existed. You know that? Totally different. The gods were nothing but gods of wrath. They're just out to persecute human beings. And what does Paul say? Oh no, God's a God of love, and He cares about you. The gods are way off. They're so far off they don't even hardly care about us, and you just have to cry out like crazy to try to get their attention. And Paul says, oh no, not the God I serve. He's what? He's right here. In Him we live and move and have our being. He is not very far from every one of us. Folks, go home and read Acts 17, Paul's sermon about God on Mars Hill, and guess what? That God stands in direct contrast to the polytheism that was taking place in the city of Athens. Totally different God. Okay? And so, they can make all the statements they want to, but it's just interesting that all these things existed even before Muhammad was here. You know it? Okay. I'm done. Next week, we got another lesson. Okay? We're going to talk about the five pillars of Islam. That's an interesting one. Ooh-wee.